Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your local business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. You guys, I am so excited to bring you today's guest. He is Mike Michalowicz, and I will tell you, if you have not heard of him, you probably haven't been following me because I preach about profit first. And I'm so excited to talk about the real numbers, what we should actually be going towards, shooting for, you know, what we should be paying ourselves and how fast should we be doing it and all of that good stuff that we don't talk about a lot. We talk about vanity numbers and Instagram followers and email subscribers. And today we're going to talk about numbers that actually matter. And this is something that over the last 17 years being in business, man, I have had ups and downs. And I think one of the biggest things is in the beginning, not even in the beginning, all the time you think, well, when it gets better, when I start making more, when I hit this next level, or when I hire this person, all of these things will magically fall into place. And I'm telling you, that's just not the way that it works. You have to start with the habits in the beginning. If you aren't doing it right in the beginning, you're never going to just start doing it right when you're making $1 million a year. I'm telling you, I've been there. I've seen, wow, my habits aren't changing. And I had to take some big drastic leaps to say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. And Profit First was a game changer for me. If you haven't read the book yet, you guys, read it. I highly recommend getting the physical book, having a highlighter with note little tabs, because there's so much in there, you guys. This is not something you want on Audible. Like, this is definitely something you want to get the physical book for. This is going to change your business if you haven't been doing it like this. And Mike is just such a great guide to show us what is possible. So this past year has been a game changer for us. We've implemented it. We are seeing the results in our online business. We are starting to implement it in our brick and mortar business. And I'm just so, so excited because it's, you don't need to make more. You probably are making enough money right now, but the habits and the things that you're doing in your business, they're sucking all of the profit out of it. And it's going to change starting today. So if you're ready, let's jump in and chat with Mike Michalowicz, author of Profit First. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Foot Traffic. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Stacey, I'm pumped to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So I read the book Profit First 2 years ago while I was on vacation. And at the time, I had already been in business for 15 years, wow, been grossing seven figures. And I remember reading your book thinking, how have I been doing this all wrong for 15 years? How is this possible that I even made it to where I was at that time without implementing any of this stuff? So it was really a big game changer. And I'll tell you, it was a big eye opener reading it, but I really didn't start implementing it to this past year. And whoa, the difference in our business this past year. So thank you, first of all. But now I'm excited to get to chat more and share you with my audience.
You're very welcome. And you also sound very normal. Like, I've gotten feedback, it's such a blessing, from so many entrepreneurs now. And most of us, we're growing our business. You know, the sales are growing, but the stress level is growing with it and the profitability isn't. And then when we hear about Profit First or any system, we don't jump right on it. The implementation, it's a little shift or a big shift in the way we think. So the transition's usually a bumpy one. So that's pretty normal.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I knew I was the normal entrepreneur, but I didn't want to be normal after reading that book. So that was exciting. So you do a really good job in the book of explaining and using examples that don't have to do with money or business. And one was talking about smaller plates. Can we talk about that a little bit? Because when you said that, it all of a sudden clicked for me with money.
Absolutely. I was watching a television show. You know, my background is I struggled with business finances. I too had businesses that had, one company was achieved $7 million in revenue in a service professional, and I was broke and struggling refinancing my house to support it. So I wanted to find a system that would help me with cash management. By happenstance, I'm watching a television show and there's a fitness instructor on there talking about diets. And she's up there and she goes, do you realize in the US, plates have doubled in size? So 300 years ago, they were the size of what we consider a coffee saucer or dessert plate. In 300 years, our plates have doubled in size. but our behavior stayed consistent. 300 years ago, the people of that time would fill up their plate, and as their moms and dads said, they'd clean up their plate. Plates doubled in size, therefore our portions are now doubled in size, but we follow the instruction set, clean up your plate, as mom and dad said. So now we're consuming double the calories, and as a society, as a globe, our waistline's doubled. So what was fascinating, this fitness instructor said, simply get smaller plates at your house. It forces portion control. It's forced frugality. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the exact challenge I have with my money. The bigger the serving of money is getting, the more I'm consuming of it. That's the problem. It's not about making more money. It's about controlling the consumption of the money that I am making. So what I realized is we need small plates. And in practice with Profit First, what we do, and you have to do this at your bank. You do your bank because it intercepts your natural path. Most entrepreneurs don't follow their accounting system on a regular basis, occasionally, but more regularly, they go into their bank account, they see what their balance is, and they're making decisions based upon the balance. Therefore, at our bank, we set up multiple accounts, I call them small plates, allocate money to these different plates prior to spending a dime. So money comes in, say $1,000 comes in, you don't have $1,000 to spend. Some of that is reserved for profit. Some is there to pay the salary of the owner, which is different than profit. Some's there for the tax liabilities, the operations of the business, maybe inventory purchase. The money gets carved up, and now you realize for the operations of the business, you don't have $1,000. You may have like $200 or $300, and it right sizes you around the right size plate, and you consume the money more prudently and appropriately.
Yeah, that makes so much sense too. And I will tell you, as somebody who's been doing this for a while and have hit seven figures, I think I was telling myself these stories in my head up, but when I make this, it'll get easier. I'll fix my habit then, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. It's the exact same thing. I was like, oh, when my first business started, I was doing like $100,000 in revenue. I was like, I should be making money. I said, it must be at 250.
Yeah.
I hit 250,000, nothing. And then ultimately I was like, it's got to be the $1 million mark. That's when everyone gets rich. And I was in the most difficult financial circumstance ever. Sales is not the solution, yet it is the default assumption of entrepreneurs. Our gut says, you know what? Need more clients, need more sales. That might bring profit. Revenue, though, translates to stress. So the more sales you have in the organization, the more obligation you're putting on your business. You have to deliver now on your promises to your customers that they're paying you for. So increasing revenue is increasing stress. And the person that carries the stress is the owner. I know a business owner, sadly, $250 million company. Sounds glorious. Until this, you meet this guy, he was under such stress and they were never profitable. In fact, I had a file Chapter 11 recently, which is devastating and sad.
Yeah.
Revenue is clearly a vanity metric. It is about profitability. That is where sustainability is.
Yeah. So do you just cringe when you hear people in the online, like the digital marketing space, like $10 million launches and this, because you just know it's probably not that pretty in the inside.
I cringe when I used to do that. I was the big dick. I come walking in like, hey, I have a $2 million company, everybody. And like thought that was so cool. And then once I hit $7 million, I was like, $7 million? Who does this? And it was just this big arrogance. I'm like, in retrospect, I'm ashamed. I am totally ashamed of behaving that way.
Yeah.
I now do feel this twist in my stomach when I go to any kind of conference or meeting where it's entrepreneurs. It is the how big is it conference or discussion all the time. How many employees do you have? That's how big is it. What's your sales like? How big is it? And the braggadociousness over this top line number, it is vanity. I am more impressed by a business that does say $500,000 in revenue and the owner's taking home $100,000 than a company that's doing $10 million and the owner's going broke. It's all about the bottom line. It's about the health of the business.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, when you first get started and there is this like pulling and of, should I pay myself or should I put that money back in the business? I know it's very hard for many of us to finally pull that salary out thinking we're like stealing from the company or the business needs it. What do you tell that entrepreneur who hasn't yet paid herself or isn't paying himself the right amount yet?
Yeah, she needs to start paying herself immediately. I mean, think first why we started our business. Usually there's two reasons. We're doing something that brings us joy, I hope, and impact to others. Secondly, because of financial freedom. And yet the irony is most businesses are stress causing, no joy, and the entrepreneur is going broke. It's the absolute opposite of what we envision. So that's a problem. And just like health and so forth, you don't go to the gym and have the amazing workout and you're ripped the next morning. You got to build to this. Well, the same thing is with profitability. We need to get the discipline of going to that gym, the profit gym in this case, from day one. We need you to pay yourself. Now, the interesting thing is when we start allocating money to pay the owner and we reserve money for profit, there's less money for the business, which is basically telling the business, this is actually what you have and is available to you. Because if I want to achieve profitability, if I want to pay myself, this is what you must work with. The moment will come, because I've done this myself, that your business won't have enough money to pay bills. And if you can't pay your bills, that's your business telling you, you can't afford these bills. There's a fundamental flaw in the structure of the business. Cut costs, increase margin. You must start paying yourself immediately, and the business will then tell you what's appropriate for itself.
Yeah. So using that as a wake-up call of this is what's really in here as the operating expense, and knowing you have those others allocated.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just going to say, well, I'm not making money. I need to sell more, which puts more organizational stress on you, and you still don't take the money. There's this concept called Parkinson's Law, theorist from the 1950s, studying human behavior. And what he stated was that as a resource expands in its availability, our consumption will increase at the same rate to consume what's available. For example, if you and I are negotiating a contract and I say, hey, I'll get to you in 1 week, it'll take me a week to get to you.
Yeah.
It's the same people having the same conversation about the same contract, same parameters. If I say I'll get to you in 1 day, I'll likely get to you in a day. Compress the resource of time, I become more efficient in its utilization. Well, this is true for time. It's true for money. As money increases in its availability, our necessity, and I'm putting air quotes around it, to use it increases. We justify, I need to buy this. I need to reinvest and plow back. I need to do what I do need to do. And now we're actually putting more stress on the organization, and the likelihood of becoming profitable is nil because our rates are increasing the same. What we need to do is put this gap in. So what I'm saying in Profit First, as your revenue is growing, or even if it's staying flat, we're going to take a predetermined percentage of that money out, stick it into that profit account you set up at your bank, hide it even away from yourself because you can't see it. And now we've put this forced gap in there, and Parkinson's Law will restrict us to work with what's truly available. Just as an example, the greatest savings mechanism of all time in U.S. history is the 401k, forced savings. It comes out before your net pay.
Yeah.
And what happens? We get our net pay and we live our lifestyle off of it. If you don't implement a 401k, all of a sudden your lifestyle expands to meet what's coming in and there's no savings.
Right.
Same kind of principle.
Yeah, all of a sudden there's nothing left over versus if you don't see it, it's just out of sight, out of mind.
That's right.
I love that. Okay, so you talk about these four core principles, and one was using small plates. The next one you said is serve sequentially. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, Stacey, that translates back to food. It was interesting. This instructor on television says that most people default to their preference. So I like steak, potatoes, you know, vegetables are served together. I don't like vegetables, to be honest. So what do? I eat the steak. Even though I know the most important food item with the nutrients, the fiber, the vitamins is the vegetables. And in fact, all society knows that, but the most discarded food item at restaurants are vegetables. So what's wrong with us? Nothing's wrong with us. The sequence is wrong. If you simply serve vegetables first and nothing else, you'll actually start consuming some vegetables. Yeah, the edamame isn't so bad.
Right.
Then when the steak gets served, or whatever your preference is, you'll consume less of it because you had the vegetables first. It brings balance. In the Profit First system, our vegetables, the health of our business, profitability, is pushed off to the very end. In fact, the foundational formula we're told is it's sales minus expenses equals profit. So most businesses in the sequence say, I need to sell more at the top of the formula.
Yeah.
I need to spend more. We don't like to say spend, reinvest, grow. We prefer that. And what's left over is profit. It can wait. It's called the bottom line after all. It's the last thing of the year. It's the final take. All those things indicate it's insignificant. What we're going to do is flip the formula. What I'm saying is it's sales minus profit equals expenses. You need revenue. That's how you bring cash in, but then you need to preserve it. So in sequence, always allocate money toward your profit first, hide that money, and then do the remaining allocations. This will start the profit muscle. And I've done this. We now have over 300,000 businesses that have done this. So we have a lot of practical experience. When a business takes its profit first and you as the owner do that allocation, I don't care if it's 10 bucks or 10,000 bucks, whatever dollar amount is, it feels good to be putting money in that profit account. You've taken your vegetables. A dopamine response occurs that you're like, oh, I want more of that. And we continue to build that profit muscle. So the sequence is profit comes first, operating expenses come after.
Yeah. And seeing, you know, in my bank account, those other accounts and seeing the profit, the owner's compensation, it does feel good. It's like the dopamine hit you're talking about. And it makes me go, this is working. And it makes me want to do it even more.
Right. Yes. That's the exact emotional response. Profit first. Some people confuse it with an accounting system. It's not. It's a behavioral system. It works with the natural behavioral patterns of most entrepreneurs. And to your point, Stacey, you log into that account, you see the money reserved for your benefit first. Yeah. Now the business is serving us and we feel good.
Yeah. Well, and we feel more secure because I remember, you know, at the end of the year, crossing my fingers, like, what's my tax bill going to look like? Right. Now I'm allocating for it and I feel good that there's a fund sitting there ready for taxes.
So a lot of people don't realize this, that your business, regardless of the formation, your business can reserve and pay your taxes for you. So if you have an LLC or a sole proprietorship, the business will write a check out to it. If you have an S corp or C corp, the business will do what's called a tax distribution reimbursement. It reimburses you for the taxes that came out of your paycheck. But either way, the business can pay your taxes. And the feeling is great. The funny thing is I ask and invite readers to email me all the time. And I'm so blessed they do email me all the time. My favorite time of year is year end or quarter end. Mm-hmm. I get emails from people saying, I can't tell you how happy I am paying my taxes, which sounds effing bizarre. I get it. But when you don't have to worry about taxes ever again and your business pays it for you, the relief is extraordinary. Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there comes a point when you get a tax return and then all of a sudden your business starts doing well enough that you all of a sudden pay money. And I didn't realize that until I got slapped with a $20,000 tax bill that I was not ready to pay. Right. So I really want people to hear this, that you might not have this problem now, but you will at some point, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah. You know, the number one largest bill for most businesses, it's their taxes.
Yeah.
It supersedes rent, sometimes even payroll for most businesses. Taxes. And yes, the most ill-prepared we are is for taxes until now. So what we're going to do is set up a tax account at your bank. We act this way and realize this. We are a legalized agent for the government. We are mandated by law to pay taxes. So when you make a dollar, you're not taking a dollar. A portion does go to profit. A portion goes to pay your salary. A portion goes to your obligation as an agent to the government to pay the government. So we're going to allocate, just like a sales tax. When you charge a sales tax, that's actually collecting money on behalf of the government. Income tax is treated the same way. So a dollar is not a dollar. A portion of that goes to the government. We allocate this tax account. And then when the government comes a knocking, and trust me, they knock loudly. Now we can just say, here you go. Leave me alone.
Right. Okay. I love this. All right. The next step is remove temptation. So can we talk about that?
Yeah. So all this stuff translates to physical or dietary needs. It's interesting how physical fitness translates to fiscal fitness. Yeah. So my addiction's chocolate chip cookies, Stacey. I'm addicted. And I just started preparing for this athletic event with my son and he's 18. I'm not. So I need the coach. And the coach said, you got to get off bad carbs. And I told him about my addiction to chocolate chip cookies. And his response was, get them the hell out of the house.
Yeah.
Temptation is, when we try to resist it, we try to use willpower. Willpower is like a muscle. It fatigues. So the only way to assure not consuming what we shouldn't have is removing its availability. When it comes to profit, also taxes, this money will start accumulating at your business because you've set these multiple envelopes or accounts at your bank. So we're dividing money up before we spend it. The money will start accumulating. Well, that day will come where you can't pay your bills or you want to hire a new employee or invest in something. And you're like, I don't have the money to do this. That's your business telling you you're not ready. But we look at the profit account and say, oh, there's some money there. Or look at the tax account and say, well, there's some money. I'll borrow. Yeah. Well, when you borrow from yourself, you start stealing from yourself. And this whole system becomes a shell game. It defeats it. Therefore, we need to remove the temptation from borrowing from ourselves. Set up a hidden bank account, a profit account. We call it the profit hold, a secondary bank. We do the same thing at the tax account. We transfer money to these second accounts and they sit there and they hide away. So when I log into my bank account, that's how I manage my business. Now I log in, I see money allocated toward my pay. So I know I'm getting paid and I see money allocated toward the operations of the business, but the profit that's been carved out and sitting there temporarily now has been transferred out. So it's out of sight, out of mind. The power of, again, is Parkinson's law. Mm-hmm. Now we are constrained to work within what's available of the OPEX. That's the lifestyle of your business. And you personally, the owner's pay, that's your lifestyle account. So now you start adjusting your lifestyle to the appropriate salary as an owner and the business adjusts its lifestyle to the salary, if you will, of the business. With this money removed out of sight, out of mind, it accumulates and then we don't depend on it, but we will do a profit distribution occasionally, periodically, every 90 days. And that becomes a very glorious day because that money that's been piling up on the side now is released to you as a shareholder.
Okay. I love this. So the last piece of this is enforce a rhythm. So how often, when should we be doing this?
Yeah, there's a couple of rules we found. One guiding principle is what we call the 10-25 rule. And the concept here is this: as money flows into your business, historically, business owners are very reactionary. We see bills piling up and the second a check comes in as a deposit, we're like, finally, and then we feel great for that day. Business is amazing. Yeah. All this money's flowing in. The next morning, we feel miserable because we use that money to pay all our bills and life sucks again. Right. It's a very reactionary, kind of bipolar experience being a business owner. So we're going to enter a rhythm or a sequence. And what we're going to do is every 10th and 25th of the month, we're going to allow money to accumulate into what we call an income account at our primary bank. The money piles up on that trigger day, the 10th or the 25th, all the money in the income account gets allocated to these other accounts based upon percentages. The profit then is transferred out to a profit hold account, so it's out of sight, out of mind. Same thing with the taxes. The owner's pay is used to pay the owner, and the business runs off of the operating expenses. By doing this every 2 weeks, it starts getting us into a flow and less reactionary. Okay. But the other benefit is by doing this on the 10th and 25th, your OPEX will be funded on those days. When you pay your bills on the 10th or 25th, the 10th bills will arrive usually by mid-month to your vendors. So now you're paying your vendors on time. That's when half our bills are due. Yeah. When you repeat this process on the 25th, the other half of bills are usually due at the end of the month. Those will arrive on time. It gets you into a rhythm paying your vendors on time and a rhythm of making sure that cash flow is not reactionary. Yeah. One last component, every 90 days I write to it, that money in that profit account, every 90 days we do what's called a quarterly profit distribution. And as we're recording this, we're about a month and a half away, a month and 21 days, I'm counting it, till the next profit distribution. That money's piled up. You take out a portion of it. Now, in the book, I explain what percentage you should take, but as a rule of thumb, 50%. So if I have $2,000 that piled up, $1,000 stays as a reserve for future profit shares, and $1,000 comes out to me, and I get that as a bonus at the end of every quarter, and I can do what I want with it. The goal is, it must, though, reward the shareholder. It never gets reinvested or plowed back into a business. That means it's simply an expense again. We call it a profit, right, but now we're spending it, so it's an expense. Profit, just like a large corporation, is always used to reward the shareholder, the small business owner of the business. Yeah.
And that is so crucial because when I wasn't paying myself, I started to almost feel like I was playing with fun money. Like if it came in, it was just like, well, what do I want to spend it on? Because it wasn't ever coming to me. And when I started paying myself, it started to really feel like real money here. And what I made, what my decision was, really impacted me. So it was a game changer.
Yeah. It's fascinating as people go through this journey, the emotional stages we go through.
Yeah.
I got so many reports and case studies now on it. It's fascinating. Here's the general arc. The first day people hear about profit first, there's either, holy cow, this is a game changer. Or there's like, this is too easy to work. It's too simple. This is not going to work. So there's either great resistance or great enthusiasm. Either way, when a business starts it, usually in the first week or two, people are like, holy cow, this works. Yeah. You can take your profit first. This is pretty amazing. Then the dip happens. It's usually about 2 weeks to a month or two into it. And you're like, I can't pay my bills. This system's not working.
I had that moment for sure. I was like, I don't think I'm doing this right.
Yeah, right. I'm not doing it right. It's too wrong. That dip is very dangerous because some people say, I got to exit. It's actually in that dip where the greatest education happens. Your business is telling you there's something fundamentally wrong with the business. Too much cost in some cases. Usually it's too little margin. We got to increase prices or dictate a higher premium for the value we're providing. Then we have the outside and the upcoming, and that continues on to perpetuity. Once people start to understand this and get into the rhythm, then they start pushing their business forward, saying, what if we move up those profit percentages from 5 to 6 to maybe 10 or 20%? What if I pay myself more? And they start tweaking their business, and that becomes this joyful ride of permanent profitability. I've done this for myself. I've done this now for, I'm approaching my 11th year. I've had 43 consecutive quarters of profit distributions. It has been life-changing for me.
Yeah. Well, I think it was maybe like February-ish that I started doing this, realizing, okay, this isn't working. I'm having problems. And I had to look at my expenses. And it was really hard for me to say, but I need that. Like, I didn't want to let it go. And I cut out $8,500 in expenses. And I was certain. Wow. I was certain that this was going to like horribly affect my business.
Yeah, right.
No. And it almost, I felt stupid thinking I was so certain that that was giving me this positive return on investment when my numbers kept growing and I cut out that kind of expense.
That's the shocking thing.
It is.
So thanks for sharing that. Cause I mean, yeah. You're revealing the humanity that's in us all. There's this thing called loss aversion. Profit first, again, it's all based upon behavioral functions of humans, of us. And one of the things is once we possess something, or basically possess something, we will do extraordinary things to retain it, including possessing expenses. So mm-hmm. I buy some software, I join that gym membership. I may not go, but I'm like, I need to go, so I'm going to keep this. So we usually possess things for an extended term. Gyms, for example, love it. They know people are going to sign up January 1st, and they're going to stay members for 12 to 15 months, maybe show up 3 or 4 times in January and never again.
Yeah,
that's called loss aversion. We now possess something mentally, and we will cling to an expense as long as we can. One of my favorite stories, though, about this realization that you had, there's a baseball team called the Savannah Bananas, real baseball team. They're an unbelievable story, and they're highly Googleable, so check them out. They implemented Profit First. And they're in minor league baseball. Basically, no one goes to baseball games like that. There's like 300 average attendees. Yeah. What they started to do is saying, we don't have enough money from our fans to support a lot of functions, including the scoreboard electricity. They mm-hmm. turned off the scoreboard. And then, you think turn off the scoreboard, you're losing everything. No. What they came to realize is that people that attend actually are there for the entertainment. Shockingly, baseball is a little boring. But the entertainment's there.
Yeah.
They realized we need more entertainment, but we can't afford the entertainers. But they had baseball players. These are volunteer baseball players from colleges. Yeah. We got the baseball players. The first day of practice at a Savannah Bananas baseball game or team meeting is how to line dance, not how to pitch or catch. Wow. It's how to line dance. As a result, Savannah Bananas today draws an audience of 4,500 people per game, and their costs are lower than most other venues. So their profit is skyrocketed, and to your point, their growth is skyrocketed. Yeah. By taking your profit first, you're forced to be very critical of what's working, what's not, do more of what's working, and jettison what's not.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is not about, oh, go slash your expenses, don't invest in your business. It's just what is actually giving us that return to give us the profit. So I'm a big believer in spending on the right stuff.
Gosh, thank you for that clarity. So many people hear profit first at first, they get the concept and say, just cut costs, cut costs. At a certain point, you cut the muscle of your organization and it crushes your productivity. It's about cutting unnecessary costs. It's about amplifying value, just as you pointed out.
Yeah, thank you. So before we wrap up, I would love for people to know if this is intriguing to them, where can they find the book? What should be their next steps? Like, how do they get started?
So thank you so much for offering this. Yeah. Profit First is the name of the book. It's at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, every bookstore that you can imagine. Go there and you can get your copy. But I think a great starting point is my own website, because you'll get the book, parts of it, for free. And by the way, it's not just the fluff chapters. It's the impact chapters. You'll see results by getting the free chapters. So go to MikeMotorbike.com. My name is Mike Michalowicz.
Okay.
No one can spell that, Stacey. So go to MikeMotorbike.com. It rhymes. Once you go to MikeMotorbike.com, click on Get the Tools. You'll get chapters from all my books, the impact chapters. You'll get articles I wrote for the Wall Street Journal as a columnist for them for years. And also I'm a blogger and podcaster, all free at MikeMotorbike.com.
Amazing. Yeah, I've got the same problem with my last name. Nobody knows how to say Tuchel.
No. So, well, yeah. You guys, Stacy rhymes with what, Macy? I don't know.
And let me show you, because we're on video. Look at my Profit First, my tabs.
That's what I'm talking about, Stacy.
This was
what I'm talking about.
I'll screenshot this on Instagram, you guys. I have so many highlighted tabs in this book, which made it very easy to interview you, because I'm like, I'm just going to go back to my favorite parts and chat with you about it. So this was so fun. You guys, I cannot recommend Profit First enough. And Mike, you have a ton of different books too. I've read Run Like Clockwork. I know you have a bunch more, but definitely you guys go check out Mike. He has such great stuff to offer. And Mike, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate everything you've done for my business too.
Stacey, it's been a joy. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. If you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.